A dehydration system, it heats food waste to 90 degrees. In 24 hours, it was reduced in volume to about 20% of its original volume.
And that's just sucking all the moisture out?
It's just heating it and turning it. And with that turning, there's also microbes in the system to help break down the food waste. So the benefit is you have 20% of the volume of food waste as comparison to this much larger volume that you need to truck or do something with. That reduces, when you have that smaller amount, reduces the cost of trucking that food waste to either landfill or to earth power to use it as energy. And then we can potentially, now that the outputs from that system are regulated by the EPA, we can use that food waste on land, so in gardens or parks.
Why does it become so much smaller when you dehydrate it?
Well, when you think about food that you put in your composting unit, it massively reduces in size. So it just shrinks in size. The water content is removed from it, and the microbes help break down that size of that food waste to something much smaller.
What's the stuff that's left?
Oh, look, I should have bought your sample. It looks like it just looks like soil. So it looks black like soil, and depending on percentage of different food in the batch, it might smell like, for example, coffee. If you put a lot of coffee grounds in it, it might be oily with coffee grounds, or it might... Essentially, it smells like soil, and it looks like soil.
So just to understand, you put it in this vent, and then it's taking out all the moisture, and it's reducing in size.
Then it's turned with a sort of... Internally, within that system, there's a turning sort of spool, and then it's heated at the same time, and with this new system, we'll have microbes as well. So it's, yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's just reducing in size, and then at the end, you have something that looks like soil.
Right. And what can you do with that?
Yeah, well, we have been talking with the City of Sydney to be able to use that food waste at Sydney Park, and...
As instead of soil, or?
Oh, it actually has to be mixed with soil. And there's very strict ways that the EPA have given us to use that processed output from the system. We can't use it, for example, for growing crops for animals. It can't be used, for example, directly on top of soil. It needs to be mixed with soil. It needs about 90 days, for example, to be used in food gardens. We can use it in... mixed with soil and then use it in sort of under trees or fruit trees, that sort of thing. But this is really new. It's a really new system. So it's only in July that EPA gave us regulations for how to use the outputs from that system. Before that, you actually couldn't legally use it on soil.
Why does it need time to mix with the soil?
Well, I suppose it's those microbes in the soil that end up mixing with the process waste and helping you have a richer sort of end product. Also, you're dehydrating things like processed meats. What we have done is try to get people to separate their food waste very clearly. There's no plastics or metals, hopefully, in the end product. But there may be processed meats. So when you dehydrate it and you re-wet it, there might be the problem with pathogens and microbes. So the pathogens coming out of that rehydrated processed meat. So the idea of trialling this system for 2 years is really important. And it's really important to mix it with soil for those reasons I was just saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And why is it so new? Why are there other systems like this that have practiced dehydration for food waste?
So it's new in the sense that we now have support from the EPA to be able to use the outputs from that. I suppose that's essentially the case. And we've had systems like composting or worm farms and that sort of thing. And you can get a industrial-sized worm farm, but for UTS, where the space is so, you know, small. And
it's a lot of worms.
Yeah, that's a lot of worms. If you're talking about 5 tonnes a month, that's a lot of worms.
It's interesting that you said meats earlier as well, is because when you have meats with other food waste, are you able to break that down in the same way, or do meats sometimes contaminate? Mm. Does that have to be separated?
You can put all the food waste, meat, vegetables, you know, into the dehydration system, and it will break down. So it's not like a composting system, which is a very slow process of breaking down food waste. This is a fast dehydration system because it's heat, essentially. It heats and microbes at a very high temperature. So 24 hours, you have, say you have 100 kilos of food waste reduced to 20 kilos. So it's a quick dehydration system. So in that sense, you can put in food and meat, vegetables, but we really want to try and keep out paper, tissues, for example. And I just saw outside your office a green waste bin that says, don't put your tea bag paper into here. So
we were talking about this a little while back in terms of we drink a lot of tea here at the station and a lot of us still drink from tea bags and it's got kind of the cotton or wool holding in the tea. Mm. And we had this discussion of, well, should we be putting that into the green bins or should we actually be taking out the tea leaves, putting them into the green and then putting the bag into the red bin, which is where you can just throw all your plastics and all that sort of stuff. Mm. But it's actually got me thinking about it at home now as well.
Mm.
If I do have a tea bag at home, which bin should I be putting it into?
Well, do you have a composting unit at your house?
I don't, not yet.
Okay, I would say that would be a better option.
Right.
You're talking about a really small amount of contamination. But doesn't that build up? It does, that's right. Exactly. So if you had 1,000 teabag strings in the composting unit, the question is, what do you do about that? And right, so we're still getting some contamination in the organics and we really need to think more about, okay, not just those sort of issues about tea bags, but also what about, you know, biodegradable or compostable cutlery and plates? And there's a lot of big issues to think about when you're thinking about sustainably managing our organic waste at UTS. And the tea bags is one small part of it.
To go to the dehydration system, is it an energy expensive practice?
Well, because they're so new, of course, the technology provider gives us stats on the energy consumption. And what we're going to be doing as part of the project is monitoring the energy consumption. Hopefully, if we can, monitor both of the systems, one that isn't regulated and one that is, to get some sort of hard data around how much does it actually cost to run these systems on site at UTS. Because, as you know, what technology providers or manufacturers say costs in energy consumption may not always be right when we put it in practice. So that's part of the process of putting these systems and monitoring, evaluating them. You know, can we reduce contamination of the organics across the university? Can we develop education campaigns for people to understand how the system works? And then the technical issues around, can we really get some data around how much it costs in practice?